Everyone has an opinion when it comes to having a baby and raising kids. Just get the epidural. There's no prize for doing it natural. In my day, we just let the baby cry until they settle themselves down. Have you tried sage oil? And so many more comments, most of them unsolicited. Welcome to the Birth and Parenting Things podcast. My name is Kim, and I've got opinions too. I'm kind of an expert on birth. I've also managed to raise 3 babies into young adults. I'm here to offer evidence-based information, stories, personal experiences on birth, parenting, and everything in between. So let's do this. Hello, 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 and welcome to Birth and Parenting Things podcast. I am your host, Kim Fernandez, Kim the doula, Kim the childbirth educator, Kim the postpartum doula. How are you doing? Is everything good? It's been a week for me. It's been actually a month jammed into 3 days. There's been so much going on. So it's become apparent to me that my body has decided, my brain has decided that 23 is going to be all about me. And as a parent of my oldest being 23 and my youngest being 18, all I can say is, it's about damn time. So I think I mentioned last week, because I have no memory because I'm 52 and my brain is mush. I had some issues. I finally talked to my doctor about the blood test that came up. And yeah, guess what? Pre-diabetic. Guess what? Heart flow problem with my heart. Oh, and guess what can fix it? Diet and exercise. God damn it. I hate diet and exercise. I've been literally eating weeds and seeds this week and I just want to shoot myself. I thought, hoped as I got older, I wouldn't have to care about this stuff. But the problem is that I stopped caring so long ago that my body is now rebelling against me. So fun stuff. So this week, I have in tomorrow, Friday, I have a non-stress test. What is it called? It's not a non-stress test. That's for babies. It's a nuclear cardiac stress test. So they're going to see the flow of my heart when I'm at rest, and they're going to see the flow of my heart when it is excited and I'm moving. So not looking forward to that. The test takes like 3 to 4 hours. Like, seriously, I have other things to do. Friday is like my putter time. Friday is my clean the house and putter time. Not this week. And then when I was talking to my doctor, I got into the idea that my mental health is not well. I've not been shy about knowing or talking about having a mental health issue. This is definitely something that I've been dealing with for 20 years, probably. I think I probably had depression before, but was, you know, it was okay. It was manageable and I was young and I drank and did all these things. So it wasn't like it was apparent and foremost in my mind. However, after I had kids, the postpartum depression kind of manifested itself into permanent depression. So I talked to her a little bit about that. Now, I haven't been on any medications for a very long time, for over 10 years, I don't think. I think I went off them before my ex-husband left, but I think it behooves me now to actually get some more, get back on that wagon. And she's also set me up for some talk therapy, which, good Lord, on Monday I have my first session of talk therapy. I hope it goes well. I think for me, part of the problem is that as a single mom of 3 teens and looking after my mother as well, I don't have a huge social group. So I actually don't have a ton of people to talk to. And the people that are in my life, besides my 2 good friends, the people that I have in my life that I could talk to don't listen to me. So that would be my children, my adult children, and my mother. My mother doesn't listen to me because all she does is talk about herself. Or she'll listen to me for like a minute and then make it about her. Now, I love her. Don't get me wrong. She's a lovely woman and she's done so much for me in my life. But that's what I'm dealing with. And then my kids, they literally don't listen. They 100% don't listen. And when you do actually talk to them and you say something or you respond to something they've said, you're wrong. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm completely wrong. That isn't the way it is. No, it's XYZ. But I'm sure it's ABC. Nope, it's XYZ. Okay. So it's a pain in the ass and a waste of time to talk to them half the time anyways. So my whole job with them is just to make sure that they stay alive. So it's a lot. So I'm kind of excited about talk therapy, but then I think this therapist is going to be like, oh my God, I cannot talk to you anymore. You're saying too much. I'm afraid I won't have anything to say. And then I'm also afraid that I may say too much or just an hour won't be long enough, but we'll see. Anyways, so that's kind of where things are sitting. I think as parents, we tend to ignore our own health. We tend to, especially a primary parent, we ignore our own health. We ignore our mental health so that we can look after everybody else. And that isn't good. That is not good. You need to look after yourself first. So that's where I am. That's your first 5 minutes of my life. I hope it was as exciting for you as it is for me. Anyways, this week on this week's podcast, we are going to talk about some more newborn must-haves. And this week we're going to be talking about dressing. So what do we need to dress our baby? Now, the thing to remember is, I mean, we seem to think that babies must wear a ton of clothes and everybody loves to give us baby clothes. So how much do they actually need to wear? And why is there so much laundry? Well, I get that question a lot in my infant care class. And the answers aren't necessarily black and white simple, but let's see if we can, you know, answer a little bit and see what we got here. So what you're going to need to start. So this is like, you know, the first little bit with baby. You don't need a ton of clothes, to be honest. And with the gift giving that happens with new babies, you may end up with way more than you need. But here's the minimum of what you could probably start with. You're going to need about 7 to 9 diaper shirts. And this is even if it's summer or whether it's winter. Obviously in winter, you're going to wear the diaper shirts with other things. But in the summer, it might just be the diaper shirts. And they are literally the little no leg, snap between the legs undergarments. Okay. And next, you're going to need several sleepers. So newborn size. These are the footy long sleeve PJs looking. You can also get short sleeved ones, I think, for the summer. But they look so cute on babies with their little footy pajamas. These tend to be on the big side. So it may seem like they don't fit, but it's not going to take long for baby to grow into them, I promise. And often these are the items that you'll get way too many of. You will want to look for sleepers that have zippers, okay? Snaps and buttons are great, but oh my God, the snaps and buttons can end up having you undoing and redoing because you didn't get them lined up properly. It's like, oh, snappity snap, ugh, off by one. Snappity snap, ugh, off by two. Zipper, seriously, zipper. You'll also want to have a hat for either the sun or the cold weather, depending on when baby is going to be born. Hats aren't necessary when you're at home, unless your home is quite chilly, but we tend to want to not have hats on babies constantly. There's an idea that when you sniff baby's head, it sort of sparks those hormones and everything that can help with bonding and feeding and all that stuff. So when your baby's at home, don't worry about a hat. You're also going to want to have several swaddle blankets. These will act as a layer. So when we talk about sort of how much baby should wear, one of the layers that we talk about, if you were talking about a certain number of layers, the swaddle counts as a layer. You might want to consider using like swaddle sacks with Velcro instead of large pieces of fabric. I tend to believe that these are easier to deal with, and they can be made snug without being made too tight or too loose and end up unraveling. Now, how many layers should baby actually wear? Well, newborns, unfortunately, in the beginning, aren't capable of regulating their own body temperature in the beginning. They don't sweat or shiver, so we kind of have to help them with the regulation through with that temperature regulation through clothing. And it's a fine balance between overdressing and underdressing. So the old adage used to be, dress baby in one more layer than you're wearing. And this is a good rule to follow. You know, if you're at home and you're in a neutral temperature in your own home. But what if you're going outside and it's mid-August? If it's so hot that you wish you had no layers on, would it really make sense to dress your baby in two layers? No. So we also have to use our common sense on top of everything else. If it's super, super hot, either no layers, just a diaper, or just one layer. If it's quite cold, then the good news is we can add layers and we can add swaddles and blankets. Let's see. So as I say, the layers are going to be considered part of, or the blankets are going to be considered part of those layers. And you may want to have multiple blankets on baby for transferring from car to home or home to car. Okay. Clear as mud, right? Well, the good news is that baby's actually going to tell us whether they're too hot or too cold. Now, obviously, they're not going to do that through sweating and whatnot, but we can check if they're fussy, if they're crying. We can check to see if maybe it is the temperature and not fever temp, but a physical temp. Pick them up, feel the back of their neck. If it's warm back there, they might be too hot, so maybe we need to remove a layer. If it's too cool, maybe we need to take a layer off. Let's see. I had a client one time. I went to their condo. It was July, like mid to end of July, and I was doing some postpartum work with them. And when I got there, I was sweating. Now, at the time, I was menopausal, so I wasn't sure if the sweat was actually sweat or if it was actually a hot flash. So when I got to their house, when I got to their condo, the baby was really, really fussy, and the parent said, "I'm just not sure what's wrong with him. He's so fussy, and he's just not settling down." And I said, "Okay, well," I went and washed my hands. Took him and I said, "Look, you go have your lunch, you," because that's what the routine was, is she would go have lunch, pump, I would give baby a bottle, and then she would go for a nap. So I took him and I was holding him, and he was in like a couple of layers, and I felt the back of his neck, and he was quite hot. And I realized that I felt really still quite hot. Now, usually the hot flashes didn't last that long. So I said to the parent, "How warm is it in here? Do you know what the temperature is here?" And she went over to the thermostat and she said, "It's set at 26." So it was 26 degrees. I'm like, "Oh, okay." I said, "One of the things that could be happening, I can feel the back of his neck. It feels a bit warm back there, and it may be that he's a bit hot. So what if we, I'm going to take a layer off him. What if we turn the temperature down?" And I'm thinking in my head, to like a normal temperature. So she turned it down to like 22, and I guess the air conditioning came on to cool things down a little bit. I took a layer off him, and after about 20 minutes, he cooled down and he settled right down and took his bottle and then went for, we had some playtime and stuff like that. But it was like, oh my God, so hot. But he was only about 6 weeks old. He told us, he knew, and he was able to tell us what he needed. All right, so again, clear as mud, right? Now, why is there so much laundry? I mean, they're just tiny little babies. How do they create such massive amounts of laundry? Well, that's because they're terrible at holding in their liquid consumption and they leak basically from both ends. So, which can mean you doing multiple clothing changes throughout the day. They're basically a drunk rock star diva during a concert every day. As a result, You may want to invest in multiple burp cloths to protect not just their clothing, but also yours as well. We don't want to be doing multiple t-shirt changes on you. I had this one time where, sorry, I'm full of stories today. I had this one time I went to see a client, and this was our second visit. So this was, baby was around, he was around 4 weeks, I think, at this point. And I was holding baby on my, he was sitting on my lap, I think, maybe facing out. I can't remember. But he was sitting on my lap. And of course, like any good baby, he went to the bathroom. And it was like, you know the sound. It was like you could hear it coming out of him. And I was like, oh, yep, he's, and then I could feel the warmth on my leg. And it wasn't that fart warmth. I might have to put a disclosure on this episode. It was like a wet, warm. And I go, oh my God. And I picked him up and he had like pooped through his diaper, through two layers of clothing. I'm like, okay, here's your baby. And they got me something to wipe up my pants with. And sadly, and of course, it was that like bright yellow poop that like stains everything. And I was wearing these beige khaki pants, you know, my business casual beige khaki pants. And that was literally the last time I ever wore light pants. From that point on, I either wore jeans, dark denim jeans, or black pants. So, yeah, they leak from everywhere. All right, so what about the next question that we have here? What do we wash their clothes in? Well, again, this is maybe a simple answer. You do have options. Because baby skin can be quite sensitive in the beginning, we want to choose, if you can either choose baby-specific laundry detergent that's going to have, you know, very few chemicals and, you know, dyes and be dye-free and scent-free to wash their clothes in. Or you can choose a laundry if you want to wash everybody's clothes together, though admittedly that might not be the greatest thing to do because in the big people clothing, all the little baby clothing might get sort of lost up. But if you want to do everybody's laundry together or you just want to buy one specific detergent, you can buy laundry detergent for everybody that is like free. So free from dyes, free from phosphates, free from scents, all of this stuff. So like Tide free, Gain free, these laundry detergents that are sort of free of everything. These can help with, they're not harsh like regular detergent, and they can be very helpful with baby skin if they're going to be sensitive. Now, the other thing to remember with baby's clothing is no fabric softener. You can't use fabric softener. So again, most fabric softeners do have dyes and are obviously have a scent, but we don't want to use any fabric softener. So you also, oh, and the reason we don't want to do that as well as not use, what do you call them? Like dryer sheets. You don't want to use those because they can actually remove the fire retardancy from baby's clothing. So most baby's clothing is fire resistant or fire retardant, and the laundry sheets and the fabric softener can actually remove that fire retardancy. So we want to avoid that if we can. So you might want to invest in some laundry balls to get rid of the, what do you call it, the static. So there's, it's funny, I've been to people's clothings where they have these laundry balls and they seem hard, like bouncing around in there. And all I can think of is, oh my God, the dryer. So what I did actually recently is we bought, though we don't currently use them. We will eventually. We use them a couple of times, but we don't really use them much now. But we got these New Zealand wool balls, and they're about the size of, just slightly bigger than a tennis ball. And there's about six of them. And if you have a big load, you use all six. If you have a small load, you would use one or two. And they were actually really good for removing the static electricity and whatnot from the laundry. Now, the problem is because there's four adults living in this house and everybody does their own laundry, the balls went missing. So that's why we don't really use them right now. But I'll definitely use them when there are less people living in this house and maybe somebody moves out. And then I have my laundry moved upstairs, which is very exciting for me. But that can, as I say, that can help. So there you go. That's sort of the, as far as clothing goes with baby, what you might need and what you can expect. All right. I hope that was helpful and pay attention and think about your mental health. And if you need help, please reach out for it. Okay. Make sure that you're talking to somebody about how you're feeling. Talk to your doctor. Right. All right. Good luck with your drunk diva baby. Bye.